Hallelujah. Welcome to the house of the Lord and welcome to Tuesday Night Live at the house of True Ministries, the house that God calls true. Pastor's been talking a lot lately about our stretching and our growing. And those of you that have been here any time at all know that we have a high level, a deep level of truth here. It's a hard place to be. If this place wasn't so full of so much truth, the seats would be even more full. The room would be even more crowded. But this is a hard place to be. Everybody say hard place. The Lord requires much of us. To whom much is given, much is expected. And He is stretching us, and we are growing up because He wants to use this place in such a mighty way. Praise God. So before we get started, I want to pray. I want to pray about the word that the Lord has for this body. I want to pray about the word that the Lord has for the church in this end time. I want to pray that, Lord God, that this word go forth in truth and in righteousness, Father. I bind every power of darkness and spiritual wickedness trying to prevent this word from going forth in the name of Jesus. I bind every spiritual wickedness that would twist the words or the intents of this word before the hearers hear it in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of control that would love to not be exposed in the name of Jesus. And I say that tonight, you devil, you are exposed. You lying devil from hell, we expose you with the light and the truth of the word in the name of Jesus Christ. And to Him be all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've been going through some live teachings lately. Anybody else going through some live teachings? Anybody else is a live teaching? Well, I want to thank you for those of you that have been a live teaching for me, because it really is helping me to grow. And some of the things that the Lord is teaching me, that's what makes us able to give it to you. Amen? So one of the things He's really showing me, really deeply showing me, is first of all that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? So if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, then my sister or my brother, they're not my enemy and they're not my problem. Amen? But it's their surrender or their submission to the presence of the sin nature or the presence of evil that is my problem. So I can't fight them. I need to fight the enemy. And the Lord is also clearly showing me the separation of who that person is, created in God's image and likeness, and who that lousy demon is. And let me tell you something. Right now, I am angry. I am angry, but I'm not going to sin. I am angry enough to stand up and take my authority in who I am and fight. I'm going to fight. Amen? And you're going to fight with me. Amen? Because God didn't send you here to be wimpy. As a opening scripture, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians, please. Anyway, when this teaching came forth to me and handed to me and I sat down and watched it, the person told me this is just what we're dealing with in this congregation. It's not just this congregation, it's in all churches, it's in the secular world, it's everywhere we look. It's the end time enemy. It's a spirit of control coming against a move of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, as if not a word from men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So maybe Katie's standing up here tonight instead of Pastor, but this is the Word of God. This has come forth supernaturally enough to strengthen me and know that this is where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm asking you to receive it as from God and not from me and not from a ministry leadership. This is from God. Amen. God's trying to raise us up, but also protect us. Amen? God has given me full assurance in the things that he's shown me in the past few days, that in this matter, in this battle that I have been waging war in right now, that we have the victory. Amen. No matter how things look to me right now, which really, in the natural, they don't look so good. I don't care. I will not be moved, and I have the victory. Now, that's growth for me, I got to tell you. I will not be moved. I'm not going to get out of position. Amen? The Lord's teaching me to trust, to rest, and to wait. We all know here that God sends people to this particular ministry, and all ministries, but especially this one, to be healed, to be set free, to be cleansed, so that they can then be used of God. Amen? Now, we can be used of God when we're not completely healed and we're not completely cleansed, and while we're still, I mean, we're all in a growing process. Nobody has arrived, and you can still be used of God. But until you're mature in God, the devil can really trip you up. I mean, he can really trip you up. And we cannot be ignorant to his devices. The devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to abort our purpose. Amen? We have to fight for our anointing, and we have to fight for our purpose. Please turn to 2 Timothy 2. Right in that same T section that you're already in. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 through 22. Now this is the foundational scripture that the Lord gave me for this body. Remind them, I'm reminding you of these things, and I'm charging you before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourself approved by God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane babblings, and profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Don't listen to a lot of babbling. It's going to increase to more ungodliness. Hallelujah. And their message will be spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of these sort. Now the Lord's, Paul in the book to Timothy is exposing them. He's saying right there, hey, these two people are this sort. Okay, he's exposing them, isn't he? Right in front of everybody. Imagine that. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Those devils come in here to overthrow your faith, and they're going to be exposed. If by name, if need be. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, we're in a great house, you guys. This is a great house. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Everybody say, I want to be a vessel of honor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from the dishonor that comes from being associated with the old man again, you cleanse yourself from that dishonor, from that old man. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So there are some vessels in every house and in the great house, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. But we have a choice. We can cleanse ourselves of that dishonor, and we can be vessels of honor. Okay? So I want you to know that as this word goes forth, and what we're going to do when the Word of God comes forth is we're going to try to use it as a mirror and look in the mirror. Don't look in your brother's mirror, okay? We're not looking in our sister's mirror. We're looking in the mirror for us. That's not our business. That's God's job. And we're going to try to judge our own fruit and see where we're moving forward and see where we're sliding back. Amen? Demonic attack will come through life circumstances or through a demonic attack. Life circumstances are hard enough. Amen? Okay, so we're all going to deal with this garbage in the end times, much more so. I mean, the love of God is increasing, the power of God is increasing, and the demonic fight is increasing. Amen? Now, Pastor says all the time that we are in the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah, the prophet of God, the prophet with power. Okay, so if we're in the spirit of Elijah and this church is going forth in the spirit of Elijah, who is Elijah's main enemy? Anybody remember? Jezebel. So if Elijah and the power of Elijah is coming forth to the earth in this end time, how much more so will Jezebel? Okay, she's coming. It is coming. So we're going to expose Jezebel tonight, okay? Everybody with me? We're going to expose Jezebel. Now, first of all, Jezebel, I'm probably more qualified. God knows why I'm up here tonight to teach this, because Jezebel tends to flow through women more than men. However, that doesn't make men exempt. Amen? It's a controlling spirit, a spirit of control. Some of the spirits of Jezebel have some of the names of the strongholds: lust, fantasy, defilement. They work with pride, haughtiness, and ego. They don't need God. So tonight we're going to look in the mirror and we're going to check our fruit. It's our job to check our own fruit. Amen? Everybody say, check my fruit. Not my brother's fruit. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do is we're going to be honest with ourselves. We're going to look in the mirror as we go through these things, and we're going to check our fruit. Now, if you have a fruit, it's got to come from a tree, right? And a tree has a root. So if you got a fruit, you have a root. Okay? God made us all different ways. We all have different personality types. So the devil is going to use us where he can get into your personality type. Amen? So we're going to lay the axe to the root, which is our job. You can't cast out a root. You can cast out a demon. But if that's your personality type, and being a strong woman is my personality type, then I got to be careful, because this thing would really like to use me. If you could quit talking, it would really help me to teach this. It's distracting me. Thank you. Anyway. So we're going to continue to lay the axe to the root for ourselves, okay? We're going to remember that we're not God. We're not God. We need God. We're not in control. The people that are fixers want to fix. The people that are perfectionists want to be perfect and want to perfect. And we got to let God be God. That's not our job. So we got to check ourselves all the time. Deliverance from this thing, evil thing, demon from hell, can come, but it's not easy. It's a very powerful demon. Now, I've got a lot of papers here. A lot of it is just identifying who or what Jezebel is, so that we can recognize it in ourselves, so that we can war against it. Recognize, you know, you don't have to have a demon to have one talking in your ear so you can manifest that tendency. Amen. You know, why don't you be a little pushy with your sister? You know, whatever it's talking in your ear, you don't have to have a demon and need deliverance to agree with it. Amen? So we're going to recognize our tendencies, both as men and women, to fellowship with this spirit of control so we cannot do it, which is practicing witchcraft in the church. Okay, we're going to talk about all those things tonight so that it can be recognized in the fellowship, so that you can recognize it at your workplace, so that you can recognize it in your home, in your spouse, so that you can fight against it. And once again, you're not fighting your spouse, are you? You're not fighting flesh and blood. So just because somebody has a strong personality, you know, the name Jezebel, that's become kind of synonymous with a powerful, bossy, a woman in control, okay? However, you got to check her fruit. There are powerful women who have been put in control by God for the purposes of the kingdom. That doesn't mean they're a Jezebel. In Judges 4, the prophetess Deborah, who was a prophetess and a judge over Israel, she was commanding the troops, telling the troops where to go and what to do. She was a prophetess and a judge. She wasn't a Jezebel, okay? So it's kind of like the cliche name for anybody that has authority or walks in some, you know, control, call her a Jezebel. That's not how it is, guys. You got to judge by the fruit, okay? So God put strong women in control and in authority in the body of Christ. But strong personalities are subject to the control of Jezebel. They would love to get me to do their dirty work. That's what this spirit does. It gets somebody else to do their dirty work. Amen? Now, this is not about making anybody feel bad or condemned. Because you know what? The person that hosts this spirit is a victim. They are a victim. And that demon hates them probably more than all. And the reason that that person goes through life manifesting these things is because of insecurities and fears. So they hide it. The Jezebel spirit is a protector. It's hiding insecurities. Now the name Jezebel in the Old Testament means priest of Baal. Not priestess, priest. Indicating masculine tendencies and influencing both sexes. She's an exceedingly evil Old Testament queen. You can read, I encourage you to read, in the 1st and 2nd Kings, all about Jezebel. And we will be talking about some scriptures from there. But you can go through and just read about her entire history. She went about doing evil by manipulating and controlling others around her to do her dirty work. She was utilized to pacify the desires of her equally wicked husband, the Bible says. Her equally wicked husband. Where you have a Jezebel, you generally have an Ahab. Now, where the Jezebel is strong, Ahab's weak and wimpy. And it can be the opposite in your home. Okay, so the woman can have an Ahab spirit, the man can have a Jezebel spirit. We're going to judge by the fruit, not by the gender. Okay? The Jezebel leaven in this nation and in the church in this day and age is great. And men too are open to the genderless spirit as well as women. Hallelujah. I want to read you what the mission of Jezebel is. In Fuchsia Pickett's book, she points out, the book's called The Next Move of God. We're in the move of God, amen? Jezebel's mission, as it was for Elijah, is to kill the prophets. The goal of the victim is usually quite different. The victim meaning the host of the Jezebel spirit. The demon wants to kill the prophets. The victim, or the host of this spirit, because she or he is insecure, wants to gain identity, glory, recognition, power, and satisfy the need for acknowledgement of worth from others. In other words, the praises and accolades of men. This is an outgrowth of the desire for love and self-worth that we all have. We all have that desire. But this one has a wrong focus. Self. Amen? So we're going to go over some of the characteristics, how we can recognize this demon or this demon trying to influence us so that we can manipulate and control other people. I'm telling you, as I'm doing this teaching, I've been taking serious looks in the mirror. I've been looking for myself in here because I want to know and I want to expose. I don't want to be manipulated by this thing to use me. Amen? Characteristics of Jezebel. The list is long, so let me get a drink here. You don't have to write all this down. We're just exposing our enemy. We will do Bible study too, but a lot of this is just exposing and listening. She refuses to admit that she is guilty of wrong. She vindicates everything she does to keep herself in a secure place because she's insecure. She's only sorry that she's hurt your feelings. She's not sorry for what she really did. Sorry it hurt you. Sorry it made you mad. Sorry I got in trouble. But she's really not sorry. She's really not repentant. Repentant means what? Go the other way. Turn around. So if somebody that's manifesting this control and recognizes it or it's pointed out to them, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. But they don't turn around and go the other way. They're really not repentant and they're really not dealing with it. The Jezebel spirit takes credit for everything, but won't take the blame when something goes wrong. Only when it goes right. Take credit, but not take the blame. She uses people to accomplish her agenda and has others do her dirty work, just like in the Bible we said about Ahab. She gets others' emotions all stirred up. Causes strife in the church, strife in the family, gets you all stirred up. Tell you something about the other person. Tell you something about this person. Tell you something about that person. And then when everybody gets all stirred up and comes at you, that thing sits back and says, I didn't do anything. I don't know what everybody's all so upset about. She has a clever agenda that's hard to pin down. She's full of confusion. And God is not the God of confusion. She withholds information as a form of control. She goes about gathering information from everybody. She's somebody that just somehow you feel like you can give her information. She just somehow gets information out of you. Just has that way of talking and sharing so that you tell her things. And then she uses that information that you've given her, withholding a key piece when she passes it on to the next person. She talks in a confusing way to maintain control. And when exposure starts coming her way, she changes the subject. Because she's not willing to be pinned down. It's like somebody is late for work all the time and the boss is getting tired of it and is going to confront the person. Says, you know, we've talked to you about this. You continue to be late. You know, maybe you just ought to get another job. And the person will say, I'm so glad to work here. I'm so glad you guys are so understanding and that you know that I just got to get my kids to school. She just changed the subject, completely flipped everything around, and the person sits there going, what just happened? What just happened? You got to recognize that thing and bring it back and say, no. That's not what we were talking about. Okay, my 5-year-old is good enough to know those games. You got to recognize it. And say, no, honey, that's not what we're talking about here. Hallelujah. The Jezebel spirit volunteers for things in order to establish control, even in the church. Amen. Jezebel loves to hang out in the church because she's after the prophets, and that's where the prophets are. If you want to find a prophet to kill, that's where you find them. Amen. She has seemingly endless energy and looks for opportunities to be in charge. They work hard, but their motives are never pure. But they think their motives are pure. Now, please remember, we're separating the person from the demon. This person really thinks they're going to work hard for the church. They're going to do whatever they can for the pastor. They're going to be in charge of this project and be in charge of that project. It's for recognition. Their motives are really never pure. But is the individual aware of their motives? Probably not. She doesn't realize how insecure she is, or he, how attention-seeking they are, and how insecure they are when they're not getting attention. Eventually, his or her agenda can't be hidden any longer. They lie convincingly. They're charming. They can make you believe that red is blue. Anybody know those kind of people? Hallelujah. They can always fool those that they've just met and those that they're starting relationships with, but they're usually figured out and they don't have lasting relationships. They ignore you if you don't, if you disagree with them. If you do not carry out their agenda, they ignore you painfully until you turn around and agree with their agenda. Like a boss will do that. They'll just ignore you until you turn around and start agreeing with their agenda so that you can, you know, get back to work and have the attention. You don't exist unless you agree with their agenda. They never give credit or show gratitude. They're insecure and competitive nature and can't stand when anybody else gets any attention. They're very critical, which is a controlling characteristic. If the idea didn't start with them, it isn't a good idea. Hallelujah. Now we're looking in the mirror. I've seen myself in some of these characteristics. Thank God not in all of them. But I can see how I could sway that way. We got to watch. Devil wants to use me. Hallelujah, does he want to use me. I have a prophet in my home. He would love to use me. This spirit is always one-upping you. Always trying to sequester information and just seems to know everything about everybody and uses it for leverage. Go to this one, speak a little. Go to that one, speak a little. Go to this one. They share tidbits of information and snare you. They talk constantly, and the conversation always revolves around them. If you're having a conversation, you better be a good listener, because you ain't going to get a word in. They spiritualize everything. Oh, God this. Oh, God that. Oh, God told me this. Blaming it on God, which prevents themselves from looking in the mirror and accepting responsibility. Amen? If you confront them, they make you think that you're the one with the problem. Hallelujah. They're insubordinate, never taking the side of the employer or the person in authority. They hate authority. The Jezebel commonly uses flirtation to seduce. However, she is not above sexual seduction if it suits her, if it suits her purposes. She is a she uses spiritual seduction, which operates on both males and females. The aim of the spiritual seduction is to convince the person being seduced that the Jezebel is spiritually mature, trustworthy, and worthy of being given authority and power and taken into their confidence. Although Jezebel usually dislikes other women, often lacking lasting friendships with women, she will seduce women in positions of authority or women close to men in authority, such as their wives, in order to gain power from them or to diffuse and oppose them. Her seduction usually uses subtle flattery, but may also include perverted expressions of agape love. Her seduction is spiritual fornication. Men are particularly blind to the subtleties of this seduction as she flatters them for her attention. Oh, Pastor, that word was so wonderful. You really ministered to my heart. That was just such a wonderful word, Pastor. Pastors are people too. Amen? They're very intelligent. Their deceit is turned into cunning. But this Jezebel spirit is good at deceiving the person that hosts it. The poor victim can't recognize it. He has no idea what they're doing. The spirit is a man-hater. Jezebel hates men and distrusts women. A lot of times this comes from somebody that's been molested. It's a very sad situation. She cannot have a truly godly relationship with men because of her underlying desire, this is important, to strip them of all their perceived power and then to destroy them. To emasculate, get a picture, men, to emasculate or neuter them emotionally and spiritually. She's generally distrustful or indifferent toward women. I already mentioned that. But uses them to gain power. They're power hungry, ladder climbers. Jezebel worships herself. A lot of times they're flashy dressers. But now, Joyce Myers is a flashy dresser. Hallelujah. So don't call every flashy dresser a Jezebel. Okay, we're going to judge by the fruit. Amen. Now, would Jezebel love to use Joyce Myers because of her strength? Oh, yeah. Does Joyce Myers have to really be on the lookout for this thing? Oh, yeah. Has she dealt with it before already? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And she'd be the first one to tell you, too. Her expectations from others are always unrealistic because others cannot meet her demand for complete submission. If they do try, she despises them and casts them aside when she has what she wants out of them. Anyone attempting to relate to a person with this spirit is literally in a no-win situation because nothing pleases them. Hallelujah. Control and manipulation are the strongest parts of the Jezebel nature, okay? That's the main things to look for, control and manipulation. Now, we're calling this demon Jezebel for the sake of a name and because of the story in the Bible, but really it's a spirit of control and manipulation, okay? People use that term a little too freely sometimes. She uses seduction to seduce her victims, but if she doesn't need to use that, she'll use any tool. She uses self-pity and her own weakness to manipulate another into submitting to her out of compassion or pity. She will even use prayer to manipulate the one she is attempting to control. Especially prayers prayed audibly over that person to create the illusion that doing Jezebel's will is actually obeying God. That's scary stuff, people. Even now, this is important, okay? Pay attention to this, because the devil has an agenda to get into the body of Christ and to, what did we say before, to steal your destiny or your purpose, right? So if you leave yourself open to this, this information says that even though the person is powerfully gifted of the Lord, that Jezebel will frequently operate in false discernment of the enemy by speaking words of knowledge gained from familiar spirits. They fellowship with familiar spirits. They'll come to you and say, I don't know how I know that, I just know. Familiar spirits. This is witchcraft. Hallelujah. Scary stuff. When you have somebody that just seems to know something or seems to hear from the Holy Ghost a little too often, that might be a clue. That God told her where you're to have lunch with her. Well, maybe God didn't tell you that. Hallelujah. She uses the element of surprise to catch you off guard. Sowing seeds of discord and telling half-truths, commanding to be the center of attention, vengeful, destroying reputations, insinuating disapproval. She's a know-it-all. In the church, she appears very religious. She worships, shows up to Bible study. It's false religion. Jezebels especially dwell in local churches, but they don't stay in the local church, especially one like this that will expose them. If you're not willing to look in the mirror, now, Guys, we've come here to be healed. We've come here to be restored unto God. There's a lot of hurting women that will be coming into this place. They carry this spirit. It has entered them. Men deal with pride and anger when they're out there on the streets and using. Women deal with prostitution and control and manipulation. That's just the nature of people. So we're going to expose this thing, and we're going to expose it in the women that come here, because God sees them as finished. God sees them as perfect. God sees them already in their destiny being used of Him. And we're going to, in love, expose this thing so that they can reach their destiny. Amen? To keep hiding it is not going to help that person. Hallelujah. So we got to know our enemy. Amen? Now, when this thing is confronted, they do not, will not, cannot admit that they have that spirit, because they can't recognize it, number one. And they cannot receive correction because it's perceived to them as rejection, and they can't be rejected. Okay? Especially this person who's attracted to the anointing. The spirit is attracted to the anointing and comes to the pastor, and such a nice word, pastor. And the pastor has to say, honey, we need to talk. Me and my wife need to talk to you. Sit down. And in love, share with her that she has this controlling, manipulating spirit. They can't see it. They won't see it. They will run from it. In order for these people to be delivered, they have to want to be delivered. They have to really seek God. This is a big, bad demon. It is a really big, bad demon. Everything I've read and I've been searching, I mean, I've been telling you, I've been eating some meat, warns you to be careful and to use great caution when dealing with these people, and to make sure you're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. So, some of the attributes we've talked about, her characteristics, is that she doesn't have a conscience and she has a hard heart. Go to 1 Kings. Praise God, some scripture. Hallelujah. Need some scripture. This is a little unusual, but this is the word of the Lord to this body. We will not tolerate the demon of Jezebel here. We will not allow it to operate in this body. We will point her out in love. If you will receive it, praise God. If you won't, guess what? Bye-bye. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 21. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 16. Hang on, I'm in 2 Kings. Hey, Rosemary, we should invent an invention that will flip all the pages of your Bible to break it in quicker for you. That would be a good invention. I don't like new Bibles. Praise God. Nobody likes new Bibles. They're hard to turn the pages. Okay. 1 Kings 21. 1 through 16. Sorry. Okay. Now, we're going to read about Naboth. Naboth was Ahab and Jezebel's next-door neighbor. Uh-oh. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for my vegetable garden, because it is near and next to my house. And for it, I will give you a vineyard better than that. Or if it seems good to you, I'll give you its worth in money. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. So Ahab went to his house, wimpy Ahab, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For for he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed, and he turned away his face, and he would not eat food. Here comes Jesse. His wife came to him and said, why is your spirit so sullen, and why do you eat no food? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, pouting, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. Arise and eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will get your vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now watch what she does. Ooh, man, this is serious stuff. She told him that he exercises authority, and now watch what she does. She wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Take him out and stone him that he may die. So the men of the city, the elders and the nobles who were inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent them to do, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. And they proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him. And the scoundrels witnessed against him, lied against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, now this is what this demon's going to do to you. Okay? Going to go to other people and lie about you to get you killed. This is not a demon to play with. Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Then they took him outside of the city and they stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. If you don't meet her agenda, she will do what it takes to make you meet her agenda. And if that doesn't work, she will kill you. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth. Now, as the story goes on, and in your own time, as you read this story, you're going to read that just like when Eve messed up, the first one the Lord chastened was Adam. Amen? In this story, when Jezebel does all this stuff, the first one he chastises is Ahab. Okay? It's up to the man of the family to recognize this thing and lovingly help their wife to put it under their feet. I thank God I have a strong husband. I thank God he will not put up with that stuff. He will not. Or, if the shoe fits on the other way in your family, which it can, amen? So what did she do to Naboth? She took his vineyard. Write this down. She destroyed his fruitfulness. Jezebel wants to destroy your fruitfulness. Your fruitfulness for the kingdom. She can convince righteous people to forsake their righteousness just to go do some good works. Talks so much, manipulates so much, doesn't even give them time to think, just takes them here, there, go do a bunch of good works. Let's be on this committee, let's be on this committee, let's do this, being in control, that they forsake their righteousness. The woman who was teaching on this DVD that was divinely put in my hands was talking that she had been delivered of this spirit, so she has the authority to speak about it. And she was on the praise team. She said when she was young, it wasn't enough for her to be the cheerleader. She had to be the head cheerleader. And it wasn't enough for her to be the majorette. She had to be the head majorette. because her daddy was never there for her. She was a wounded little girl. She had four brothers. Her father wanted her to be a brother too, and she wasn't. He went to all their football games and never once went to her band practice, to her activities or cheerleading games or anything. Never once. She was a wounded little girl, and she was used by this spirit. Does God love her? Absolutely. Do we love the person that harbors this spirit? Absolutely. Do we want them set free and delivered for their purpose in the kingdom of God? Absolutely. But we're not going to play with it. So this particular lady, when she realized, when her pastor came to her in love and told her that she had this spirit, the first thing she said is, "I do not." And in love, the pastor taught her, showed her, "I do not." And because of the love of the pastor, and because of her separating the demon from the person, finally this woman recognized it. And what she testified is, because she is of a strong personality, those type of people really hate being used. She was so angry at Satan for using her that she went and cut off all her hair, bald. She had a lot of jewelry. She gave it all away. She was in full-time repentance on her face. She wanted rid of that thing. She wasn't going to let that thing control her anymore. And because of it, she is now free and preaching this same word so that other people can be set free. Well, her husband said, "Please don't do that again." He was glad for her submitting, but he would rather she had hair. Now she wears jewelry. Have her. She has the jewelry. Amen. Now she has long hair because her husband enjoys it, not for show. When we're delivered of this thing, our husbands get a new wife, or our wives get a new husband. Our children get a new mom. And the person being delivered has liberty because they're no longer being controlled. That Jezebel makes the person live a life of distortion. They make small things look grandiose. Their love, the love that they seemingly show toward you, once you get to know them, you can be fooled for a little while, but their love is manipulative and possessive rather than divine. It's self-seeking. It's like, do for me and I'll do for you. That love is suffocating and demanding. They demand your total devotion. We're going to go to James 3, 14 through 17. Everybody all right? Everybody looking in the mirror? Everybody not looking in their wives' mirror? Hallelujah. When a wife recognizes this in herself, she submits herself to her husband and says, "Honey, I see it. I need help. Please help me in love." And if she's manifesting this thing, you just don't go up and say, "Hey, Jezebel!" That is not going to help, gentlemen. Take her by the hand and say, "Honey, God's in control. Let's pray." Amen? Use wisdom. Don't set that thing off. You're going to have to sleep with it that night. Hallelujah. Oh, give me that little machine to break the Bible in. You thinking about it, Ro? Our little inventor over there. Okay. In James 3, verses 14 through 17, let the word speak. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, that's what we're talking about here, right? Self-seeking. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't say you don't have it. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. And where envy and self-seeking exist, in confusion will be. I already said, Jezebel brings confusion. and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Our flesh wants to open us up to our insecurities so that Satan can walk in and bring every evil spirit with him. If you don't spend time in the Word and spend time in the presence of God and you start getting more fleshy, those things have access to you. Amen? This woman was talking about how now America has become such a rebellious nation with rebellious children. And then looking at the history of it, she believes that where it started was back in World War II, when the men all had to go to war. I mean, the whole nation left their wives and family and went off to war. The women had to work and take care of their families. They had to be the breadwinner and the nurturer. Now they were very insecure. Their husbands could, and many did, die. And now they had to take care of everything. But you know what happened? When they got all that control, they liked it. Come on, you guys. We women, we want to work full-time jobs, take care of our houses, raise our children, and then we expect them to be godly and well-disciplined. We can't do it all. It's not possible. And then our wimpy husbands sit back and watch the TV and click things, not taking control of the children and unable to take control of you because you won't let them. And what condition are your children in? Hallelujah. Rise up, Ahab. Get off the couch. Discipline your children. So anyway, these women liked the power and the authority of being in control. And then what happened was their children, this was bred into them. And generation by generation, it's gotten worse. And we see the results now. People in the 70s and 80s, it was all free love, sex, you know, and then the mothers promoted that because they didn't want to constrain their children. And we want to be our children's friends. My daughter gets sassy, I say, honey, don't talk to me like that. I am not your friend. You got enough friends, I am your mother, and you will talk to me with respect. And then I go on to say later, and by the way, if you talk to me with respect, I can be your friend. Hallelujah. What happened with this free love stuff? The incidences of breast cancer and cancer in the reproductive system of women went off the charts, skyrocketed, went ballistic. Because the devil now had his way in, and he was attacking us where we give suck or nourishment and where we reproduce. Think about it. That's scary stuff. Jezebels can only beget rebellious children. Only. And it's about things being in order. The man is the head of the family. Did I like that when I first got saved? No. Do I still struggle with it now? Yes. Hallelujah. My husband reminds me frequently, Katie, that's control. Again? Yes, dear. Again? Hallelujah. So when things get out of order, what is cancer? It's just cells that are out of order. So when things get into order, then you get made whole. So this demon latches on to a woman who is already vulnerable, is already insecure. She could have been molested. She had a father that didn't love her. Certain type of target that it goes after. And then she wants that person to feel ashamed and hopeless and paralyzed, destroying that person's destiny. The person that this thing attaches itself to knows the destiny, knows that she's called of God, knows that she has a high prophetic calling. That thing wants to kill the prophet she's living in, the prophet-to-be, and then go and kill the high-ranking prophets in the body of Christ. It's no respecter of persons, and no respecter of gender. Witchcraft is witchcraft. Think about this. God has authority. God is the authority. Witchcraft is illegitimate authority. That's what witchcraft is. It's illegitimate authority. So this thing wants to gain your authority, to gain the anointed man of God's authority, to gain the husband's authority by emasculating him, bringing him down, controlling him. Now, this is very interesting, this point I learned. Take a look at these words. Manipulate, intimidate, dominate, and hate. They all end in A-T-E, eight, because they're devouring others' fruits. Ooh. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about who is a target for this demon. Why does this thing target certain people and not other people? Not that anybody's exempt, but if you'll let it in, it'll come. That thing is rampant in the earth today. If you'll be a host, they'll take you. There are people that are insecure and easily threatened. People that are impatient, and they can't trust and wait on God. Oh, can't trust God to send them a husband? Can't trust God to send them a wife? Just go find one. Well, that must be my husband. That must be my wife. Oh, and Jezebel will come and tell you, honey, I am your wife. She wants to emasculate you. She wants to use you. She wants to devour your purpose and suck up your anointing, and then she's going to throw you away. We'll talk a little bit about that later. She attacks people that have high ego. Now, the word ego has an acronym I just learned. Easing God out. E-G-O. Easing God out. I can do it myself. I don't need God. I don't need counsel from the pastor. I got this figured out. I'm grown up. Pride and ego. Easing God out. This thing strikes at undisciplined children. Children that have not been raised in discipline. Hallelujah. You can recognize this demon because there's somebody that loves crowds, but they hate people. They like the attention, but they can't stay in a relationship. They don't really like people. They only like themselves. A lot of these people that are attacked by this spirit have been raised by fathers that they can never please. Like that girl that I told you about. The only way that you're going to be healed is by knowing who you are in Christ and who your Heavenly Father is. He is the only Father that you can truly please. He's watching you all the time. He's got his little nursery monitor shining down on you all the time, watching your every move, knowing every beat of your heart. He loves you just the way you are, even when you're foolish, even when you're rebellious. The other way that this spirit attacks is from learned behavior from their mother. I realized in doing this study that because of my strength, and because of my daughter's tendency to be very strong-willed and her need to be very tightly reined, I have to be careful not to go past my boundaries of what God's called me to do with her. She is an individual person. I can't make her be me or want to be me or want to be like me. She's an individual person. But boy, honey, can I see that little five-year-old trying to do her daddy with this same thing. That thing will use a five-year-old. That thing will use an 80-year-old. It doesn't care. That is why I am standing before you today giving this teaching, because I can recognize it better than my husband can. I'm a woman. I see that thing coming. Women see it coming. The men say, oh, honey, she's just being nice. If your wife tells you that there's a problem and somebody is after you, listen. But women don't tell them in a way that makes them feel like you don't trust them, or they're not going to listen. Amen? So these spirits find entrance in us because we're unwilling to crucify our flesh, uncrucified flesh. We want our own way. We want what we want instead of what God wants. Working in that controlling spirit makes our flesh feel good. You know, we're medicating, getting down to that root, getting down to that stronghold. We don't want to look. We don't want to get set free because it's painful. So we medicate it by being controlling. Hallelujah. Now, as a leader in a church and as a woman married to a man of God who has a high calling on his life, who I know is anointed, who you know is anointed, this is something God is teaching me about. Because number one, it wants to eat his lunch and mine. It wants to break up my marriage. Wants to use me to break up my marriage. Wants to use members of the congregation. You know, my husband's a loving father with many spiritual children. And the love covers the sin. The love goes above and beyond. The love. But you still have to recognize that demon trying to use you and trying to eat your congregation. We'll talk about that a little more later. The main attraction of a Jezebel spirit, of a controlling spirit, is the anointing. When you start walking in the calling of God and in the anointing of God, guard yourself, men and women. If you're a woman, the devil wants to get in you. If you're a man, the devil wants to control you and use you. Jezebels are attracted to people of power like moths to flames. Often a very intelligent, efficient, attractive, and even blatant Jezebel can be found serving at the feet of prominent leaders, even in the church. Oh, but Pastor, I had a dream about serving at your feet. Ding, ding, ding. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Red light, red light. The deception and seduction of a Jezebel is often so successful that the leader does not recognize it. The Jezebel's true desire is to wrest the power from the person being served. If that person is prophetic in nature, the actual mission is to destroy him by any means available. Destroying his credibility, undermining his authority, discrediting his ministry, calling him to fall into sexual immorality. And if that demon can't get to the pastor, it's going to go in the back door and it's going to attack the ones closest to him. If it can't take down the pastor, it's going to do as much damage as it possibly can before it is removed. I'll not tolerate it on my watch. I'll not. Those of you that are recognizing this stuff in yourselves, I'm going to come to you in love. But I'll not tolerate it. We're going to get rid of it. Amen? If that is your strong desire, we're going to get rid of it. And if that's not your strong desire, we will get rid of you. And I'll show that to you scripturally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, talking about the victims again, the hosts, the people being controlled by the spirit who is controlling, many people have a true heart for God, and they truly desire to serve Him. I mean, they really want to serve God. But if they don't recognize that spirit and they're not confronted, how are they ever going to? The original Jezebel was devoutly religious, but was at total enmity with God. She worshipped at the altar of Baal. Modern-day Jezebels may indeed believe that they are serving the one true God. However, the hidden agenda is self-worship. People, they really do believe they're worshiping God. They're not doing this on purpose. Okay? Separate the demon from the person. Please. Please. That's the heart of the Father. He wants to rescue them. He wants to rescue them. He loves them. Hallelujah. Jezebel uses spirits of murmuring, complaining, and criticism, justifying her disobedience or lack of respect. She finds fault with others as grounds for disobeying her authority. They can have angry displays of temper. And she'll turn on the one who refuses to do her will and submit. Especially if she's been successful at manipulating that person before. When the Jezebel spirit thinks it's getting its way in the church and has been kind of doing the pastor, making nice, and the pastor doesn't see it, and all of a sudden the pastor recognizes that thing and confronts it for what it is, oh, honey, look out. Woohoo! Sparks flying. Ooh, defensive.